The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly's going to spice up that last segment we did as we do it moving forward with the old wig.
I think I need a gavel.
Maybe a gavel.
Yeah.
I
wasn't getting enough head turns in the D. I got a couple, but I need more. Everybody in the casino is not looking over here, it's a problem.
Everything we do is rated by how many head turns we get. That's our only sort of bar we're trying to clear here. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Bear. He is at Fox Sports. He has a Better Bets podcast. The Bear Bets podcast. There's so many B's in all of these. The Bear Bets podcast, both pro and college football versions. He's Chris Velika, everybody. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing all right. I'm actually going for a little nice little walk on the elliptical right now, taking in the show. So listening to Devin and Jason and Paul and everyone tried to say this morning. So nice leisurely hour walk here. So hopefully I'm coming through loud and clear.
Well, not exactly loud and clear, but we'll see if we can get some plays from you here in the short term. First of all, soccer. Did you have any soccer thoughts? Any bets you're making?
Yes, absolutely. Two games today, African Cup of Nations, which has been mainly an underfest for the most part. If you look at the first match, it starts in an hour. Nigeria, Angola. This is another 2.5 match. If you look at Nigeria's matches so far, none of the four have had more than 2 combined goals scored in the game. They've held each of the last 3 opponents to clean sheets. Nigeria, with all of the upsets going on in the tournament, probably is the favorite to win this now. So I have under 2.5 in Nigeria, Angola. And then the second game today should be another lower scoring game. Congo and Guinea. If you look at Guinea's matches, this is probably the folks who to score no. Guinea has not allowed a goal in their last 2 matches. Most of their goals have come late. So I think if you're looking maybe for the prop out there, will there be a goal in like the 75th minute or later? This could be a match you want to play out as well.
Okay, so let me just, for those who didn't get that, Nigeria, Angola under in the Africa Cup of Nations. And what was the second one?
I would play both teams to score no in Congo versus Guinea. And if there's like a prop where you can play, will there be a goal in the 75th minute or later? That would be something that I would look at in that match as well.
Okay, both teams to score no in the Congo match. And if there is a prop 75th minute or later to score, he would look into that as well. Okay. We'll try to get through a little Super Bowl 58. We might have to cut you off early here, Chris. Anything Super Bowl 58 that you have bet, either prop-wise or on the game itself?
Well, I've had props, the Super Bowl futures on both the Niners and the Chiefs, so I haven't bet anything yet. But I know Jason was the numerologist. I want to give a little more numerology here. I don't know if you've heard this or not, but there's a lot of you heard about this, like numerology with the 13. Like, it's Taylor Swift's favorite number. The game is played on 2/11. 2 plus 11 is 13. They're playing the 49ers. 4 plus 9 equals 13. And it's Super Bowl 58. 5 plus 8 equals 13, and as long as she's back from Japan from a concert, this will be the 13th game the Taylor Swift is attending to see the Chiefs. So between the flag being buried at midfield and number 13, like, I don't know how you can't bet the Chiefs, right?
Sounds logical to us.
Obviously.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, seriously, though, like, I'm kind of starting to gravitate towards the Niners. I think... And you've done a great job of breaking this game down in terms of like checking the boxes, position group by position group, and coordinate. But I think that advantage that the 49ers have on offense with the number of skill players that they have will be ultimately too great. And the Bills just ran the ball up and down the field on the Chiefs. And that was something the Ravens really got away from. So I think if they run McCaffrey and Debo and jet sweeps and stuff, that could be the way to go. And the Niners' defense, their weakness is their secondary and those long passes. The Chiefs don't have the game breakers at wide receivers that they used to have. So if there's ever a unit that you wanted to be weaker here, I think that's it. I'm not sure the Chiefs' wide receivers can really expose the Niners' secondary. So I'm kind of leaning towards the Niners right now. If I didn't have any futures or anything involved, and if I had to make a bet, I probably would just play Niners' money line.
Probably would just play Niners money line if you didn't have anything going. What are your futures in play?
I have both teams to win the Super Bowl. I was just accumulating them throughout the year. I got Niners 10-1 early in the year. I got them again at like +6-1. I got the Chiefs at like 6-1, 8-6. I got a bunch of different numbers. So
beautiful.
I'm probably just going to be sitting there on Sunday just kind of watching. And it's one other soccer play for you. I know Paul was talking about the Arsenal match a little bit before on Sunday. I know he was talking about Arsenal. He liked the over here. I'm not so sure. I kind of disagree with Paul on this. This is a decent on decent crowd because I respect him. And he's also a friend of mine, and I work with him at ESPN. So I respect what he has to say. But if you go back and watch the two matches that Liverpool and Arsenal have played this year, one was a 1-1 match at Anfield where Arsenal scored off the set piece early on. They really didn't threaten to score the rest of that match. A couple of weeks ago, Liverpool went to the Emirates and won 2-0 in an FA Cup tie. Like, Arsenal didn't threaten really at all. And that was a Liverpool team that was down a bunch of guys. And in the last week or 10 days or so, I know they don't have Mo Salah, but Liverpool has gotten the key guys back on the defense and at midfield as well. So I'm not sure this is an over 2.5. I would play under 2.5 here. If Liverpool were to win this match, it basically eliminates Arsenal from any contention to win the Premier League. If Liverpool get a point, I think that's what the ultimate is. As long as Liverpool get a point, I think they're going to be okay with that if they still have Man City coming at home. This feels like a Liverpool or tie kind of play for me, where I don't think Arsenal right now, the way Liverpool has been playing and the way they've been made up, I don't think Liverpool is going to go there and not come away with at least a point. So Liverpool or draw, I think, was like -160. And that would be the way I would play it.
Okay. Going oppo Paul Carr on that. A little guest-on-guest crime. Chris, we're going to let you go early because of the audio. Enjoy your walk.
I'm sorry.
No problem. Enjoy your walk. Chris Felica, everybody. Bear Bets Pod.
Man, I'm about to start making a list of how many guys are on opposite sides of that game, Gil. It's been so many.
We get tweets at Biddy the Book. Colin Murphy. And again, the best listeners in the game. Just reacting to every little detail of everything. Colin Murphy talking about clutch player when I brought that up earlier. He says, I think the play is Brunson for clutch player award in the NBA. They'll want to give him something if they finish with a top 3 seed in the East. Talk about the Knicks, but I think MVP is a stretch. Grabbed him 75-1 the other day. You can still get a 60-1 on Jalen Brunson for clutch player of the year at BetMGM, he says. 60-1? Are we still seeing that out there? Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, go for it. I scooped a small MVP on him last night, but I don't think there's any chance he's winning it.
Bosch in Chicago.
Every awards market with him was getting steamed last night.
Brunson.
Yeah.
Bosch in Chicago. Thank you, Bosch in Chicago. He was reacting to my openly wondering with Paul Carr about how many draws occur in the Premier League. Bosch in Chicago says 20% of matches ended in a draw this season in the EPL. Thus far, 40% home wins, 33% away wins.
Interesting. That was a good question by you. I also think it's... Don't you think they have to bake that into the price a bit?
Oh, they sure.
Books, you know what
of
I mean?
Of course,
nobody wants to go and bet that.
Right, but I don't know if they do it just based on the sample size of this year. Probably not. It's probably longer than that. Trip Tepper, Bronny James being touted as a lottery pick was the biggest joke in the history of the NBA. He can barely get on the court for USC, who are 8-13. His stats, 5.6 points a game, 2.8 boards, 2.4 assists, 36.6% field goal percentage. Jason was all over that. He's like, Laker lottery pick. He can't even get on the court for USC. Bobby Geddes couldn't resist taking some long shots when the playoffs started. Ended up with Kittle Super Bowl MVP at 200-1. Kelce anytime Super Bowl touchdown 22-1.
Nice.
Wow, that's a nice one. Mahomes rushing Super Bowl touchdown 40-1, and Debo Super Bowl MVP 35-1. Oh, that one you could actually that one you could have gotten at a better price later.
Yeah, but where's the funny ones? Where's the five others? That we know you bet on the Bills or something.
He closes his tweet by saying, "Apparently, I picked the right two teams. Good luck as always, gentlemen."
Oh, that's awesome. That is great.
Nevada Azer. I'll be in town later next week. You guys on Radio Row all week? No, just Thursday, Friday. I said, also, is Fezzik responsible for Caesars changing how Diamond Plus redeems the drinks? We used to be able to print them off and use older dated tickets anytime. Now you have to redeem at the bar, 4 per day only. I don't know. You'd have to ask Fezzik, who is 7 stars. He's above.
Ooh.
He's above the Diamond Plus status. Rick Olier. Happy New Year, Kelly. Jason is going for the infinite gauntlet of insulting major corporations and fan bases. LeBron stands and USPS workers down. Taylor, Leo DiCaprio, and Apple are next. Sorry to inject Marvel nerdiness into your Friday. Ryan Hyatt, until Gil and Kelly can get a licensed moonologist on the show, not sure I can continue to listen. I expect a certain level of expertise.
Sorry to let you down.
You're right. Nash, last name Nash. With his connections to the Pentagon and Postal Service, I'm shocked Jason didn't have NASA on speed dial. Oh, he's got him on speed dial. He was just offended they didn't get back to him quick. Brian Schaefer, moonologist. I believe it's called lunar geologist. Yes, we are aware that is not the technical term. We're just messing with Jason who said it. Primetime, Cowboys underscore one. I'm sorry. As a board-certified practicing moonologist, I don't care for the tone of your discussion. Mocking my profession. Bobby Knuckles, 72 Taylor Swift props, you said? It's obviously too many. They should have settled at 22. Scott, New York.
Thanks for tweeting in, Bobby Knuckles. Yeah. He's old 10 feet away.
Bobby Knuckles. Oh, is Bobby Knuckles back here?
Yeah, it's Rob Moreno.
Oh. New York Mets 16. Some of the Taylor Swift props I've seen are color of lipstick, hair up or down, show cleavage, do a TikTok with Jackson Mahomes, etc. You can bet on whether or not she's going to do a TikTok. By the way, speaking of TikTok, after the break, can we do a little TikTok segment? Because there is a great TikTok from this British guy reacting to American football. We got to play that.
You better believe it.
D-Gen Southern Jet, I'd rather see Justin Fields in a Falcons uniform than Russell Wilson. And Jim, James Sott, hopefully Watson keeps up the last momentum he had when he led that great comeback versus the Ravens. He was the old Watson in that game and made me remember how he used to be. Love you guys. We're gonna play that back, the British guy. And props, Super Bowl props, most rushing yards, receiving yards, passing yards, receptions. Next, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With Omaha Steaks, you'll fall in love at first bite with their tender steaks, juicy burgers, air-chilled chicken, and more. You're going to love every bite. It's Omaha Steaks guarantee. And for a limited time, when you go to omahasteaks.com/VSiN, you'll get 4 free air-chilled boneless chicken breasts and 4 free rich, juicy, boneless pork chops with your order. Minimum purchase may apply. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live on A Numbers Game here from Bar Canada at the D. Just off-air. I love getting in NBA debates with people because AD, all the LeBron and AD stuff is flashing up. Anthony Davis, all these things are true. Ready? One of the best 75 players of all time. Hall of Famer. Disappointment. All three of those things are true.
Yep.
How can you Hall of Famer, best 75 ever, and still, when you look at the overarching headline of his career, you also have to kind of add and somewhat of a disappointment.
Well, you have to, because I think if it was not for injuries, and I'm not only going to build that in, there's just been bad play in times. I mean, we saw it in the playoffs last year. He just disappeared at times when he was one of, if not the best player on the court often. Yeah, everything you said is true. I often find myself coming to the guy's defense because he is that good of a basketball player. Yeah. When people start to crush him, I almost have to be like, yeah, but like he could have been one of the all-time greats.
The other NBA one I love like telling youngsters is, no, you don't understand. Dwight Howard should be one of the best 75 yeah. players of all time. And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, you have no idea. He was so dominant at one point in his career. Okay, this was on TikTok. TikTok, you don't stop. This is a British dude reacting to American football. It's a couple minutes long. He goes through 4 points of how, again, he's not as close to the sun on this as we are. But from his perspective, his opinion of American football, hit it.
I watched the NFL championship games yesterday, both of them. And as a British man, I thought you Americans would love to hear my impressions and opinions on it. Starting off with, what is the point of the kickoff? Every kickoff I saw, the guy runs in, leathers it over everybody's head, and he goes through the end zone for a touchback. There wasn't a single kickoff return in either of the games I watched, so why is everybody getting out there for a proper play? They need to move it back or punt it or something so there's actually a play. I mean, what's the point? You might as well just start from the 25. The penalty system makes absolutely no sense to me. How come if you're the offense and you commit a foul, you don't lose the down? Like, you f***ed up. You should lose that go. That was a legitimate attempt to advance the ball.
So right.
And you f***ed it up by holding or whatever. So you should lose that. And how come any penalty committed by the defense is an automatic first down? That doesn't make any sense either.
1,000%.
Surely you just give them the yards and then replay the down with the same amount of yards to the next first down. I don't get it. I understand that changing the penalty system to what I just suggested would make it way harder to score, but tough. Next point, obviously the outcome of the game relies heavily on where the officials are spotting the ball. Why can't they do this automatically? Why does it require some blokes who often get it wrong to do it? In cricket, if a bowler oversteps the line, that's a no ball, it's an illegal delivery, and there's just a thing looking at it that automatically registers whether it's illegal or not and tells the umpire so he can signal it. Surely you could do the same thing with a sensor in the ball that can just work out where it is on the field so it knows exactly where the ball was when he got downed. Surely. Last but by no means least, the commentators are such wafflers. They never provide any sort of expert insight or analysis that a layman wouldn't be able to see. They're always just talking about how everyone's feeling motivated on the team and how he's going to inspire the team to a great victory and how Taylor Swift's presence is going to affect the team morale. Shut up.
Listen, the chip in the ball we've talked about for years needs to happen. Obviously, we talk about announcers. And the first one, leathering the ball, to use his phrase, over on kickoffs. They're trying to legislate it out of the game. So he's 100% right about that. It's like, I can't tell you, when I do guessing lines, the percentage of drives that just start at the 25 is off the charts. He's right. The second one is his most brilliant. And I think we've all had this moment as football fans that every defensive penalty... Right? Automatic first down.
First down.
Yeah. And the offense, the way that it is adjudicated is kind of messed up. He's right. You tried. You failed. You shouldn't get it back in a favorable position with downs.
It's so
pretty
true.
Brilliant.
These are the things that were yes, I think that what he's laying out makes a ton of sense. It's what you and I also bring up, though. These are the things where, have you ever tried to sit down and explain to someone from a foreign country who doesn't know American football or baseball?
Baseball's the worst.
And you don't even think about what their follow-up questions are going to be, right? Those are the follow-up questions that you'd be like, I really wish I could answer this better.
The baseball one, I've said this many times on the show, is the single most ridiculous. As you're explaining it to someone, you're like, you're right, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Everything about this is because there's rules within rules within rules, and you just take them for granted.
As the crew pointed out before the show, watching the video, hey, you better watch out with the chain gang. You're taking American jobs there, buddy, okay? You got to watch out for that one.
I thought you said if it was a fly ball, he could stand on the base and then advance. Well, yeah, but, the problem was on that one, that was infield fly rule, so it's a whole thing.
I love the wafflers, too. I'm just going to start calling everybody on the show wafflers. Stop being a waffler.
I thought he just called them waffles.
That's
which
what I thought, too.
Yeah. All right. Super Bowl 58 props. Let's roll them. Let's start with, I want to do best passing, most passing yards
first.
Let's
do it.
All right. Whatever you roll up, I'll react to. Now, here's the thing. The all-time record in Super Bowls for most passing yards held by the great Tom Brady. Have you heard of that guy, Tom Brady? Tom Brady, who threw for 505 in defeat against the Eagles in Super Bowl 52. He threw for 505. 505. All right. I guess we're going to start with rushing yards. Is that what you're telling me we're going to do?
Yes.
Okay, we'll start with rushing yards. Timmy Smith is your record holder, everybody. Oh, who could forget it? Super Bowl 22. Skin scored 35 in the second quarter alone. Timmy Smith, 204. A record that stands to this day. Super Bowl game leaders, most rushing yards. Christian McCaffrey's minus 250. Pacheco's plus 170. Mahomes is third at 14-1. You like anything here? I do not.
No.
I don't either.
I mean, it's probably overpriced on McCaffrey, but you're not getting enough on Pacheco to go and bet that, in my opinion.
What's next?
Next up, receiving yards.
Receiving yards. Record holder, Jerry Rice. You heard of that guy? Jerry Rice. Super Bowl 23 against the Bengals. That was the Joe Montana says in the huddle before the final drive, which he ended up with a touchdown to John Taylor. He says to the huddle at the beginning when they're down, he goes, hey, is that John Candy up there? That Super Bowl. That was the Jerry Rice most receiving yards.
It was to calm him down right before the drive. What a great story.
215 awesome. Yards receiving. Brandon Ayuk is your short shot at plus 210. Kelsey's 3-1. Rashee Rice is plus 320. Debo plus 425. Kittle plus 450. And then everybody is 18-1 or longer. McCaffrey is 18-1. Isn't that the bet? Don't you take a flyer on McCaffrey here?
Oh, man.
Because all the others are all bunched up in...
They're bunched up. I don't know that I wouldn't have Kelce closer to the favorite in this. Yeah. This graphic displays it well. The Niners have so many weapons. It's really hard to pinpoint exactly who the guy is going to be.
I think the only bet I make here is you hope for a dump off to McCaffrey, which he houses from like 70 yards out.
Right. Yeah. Anyways, I mean, and that's the way that gets home. Right. I think that could be a good one. And you know, if you're adding some longer odds, fun props, definitely not a bad one. First one I looked at was Kelce 3-1 though. Okay. I mean, I lean Chiefs in the game anyways. I think whenever you're talking about props like this, you know, they kind of correlate at least with what you feel side and total. I think San Francisco is going to be dialed in on Kelce. I don't know how much it's going to matter, though, with Mahomes.
Let's do receptions. Shall we do receptions? Let's do that.
Shall.
Receptions, all-time Super Bowl record holder for receptions. Do you have any idea? This is a good one.
Oh, man, no. I would guess Jerry Rice again.
No, he was a guy that everybody thought should have won the MVP when he caught 14 passes, but instead they gave it to Tom Brady, James White.
Oh, yeah.
In that Super Bowl against the Falcons, coming back from 28-3 deficit, he caught 14 passes in Super Bowl 51. But you know what Brady did to get the MVP?
What was the yardage total on James White? Do you have that in front of you?
I don't have it in front of me, but you know what Brady did in that game?
Dinkin'
Brady threw for like 446, and they gave it to him.
Yeah,
446. Not even his best Super Bowl output.
That is yes.
No, pardon me. I shortchanged him. 466.
466.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why people bring that one up a lot. But it's a perfect example of, okay, what does it take for one of these guys to steal the MVP award from the quarterback?
And 14 catches wasn't enough. Kelce is the appropriate short shot at plus 150. Rashee Rice is number two. I'm surprised by that. Plus 195. Then a fleet of Niners. Ayuk plus 450, Debo 5-1, Kittle 10-1, McCaffrey 11-1, and then everybody else.
Yeah, I don't really get the price difference in this market between Rice and Ayuk compared to the receiving yardage. You know what I mean? Like, do you really expect, like, Ayuk's the favorite to lead in yardage, and we expect him to do that on like three catches? I mean, I know he's the downfield threat, but still.
Not like Rashee Rice is like Art Monk here or anything.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. More weapons that go around on the Niners.
Of all of those, McCaffrey most receiving yards at 18-1 is the one I like the best.
Okay, I would lean Kelce in that same market.
Okay. Props galore. Got all week to go through more of them. We shall do it. Matt Brown checks in next with his thoughts, his initial thoughts on this show on Super Bowl 58. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Get your first year for only $199. Just use promo code ANG. Get access to everything on our brand new VSiN.com website. Plus, our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Plus, our upcoming Super Bowl betting guide with best bets and favorite prop bets. Remember to use promo code ANG.
That's promo code ANG, as in a numbers game, folks, as in where you're going to see Matt Brown in roughly 90 seconds.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Do you know what Kelly Bidlin just did here, ladies and gentlemen? He sent me a message cleverly over the airwaves as if he wasn't sending me one.
Yeah, I don't try to be that clever with our audience anymore. I just tell you.
we peel it all back. Okay, this is, we get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from the numbers guys. Shout out to DraftKings. They had a promotion here in Michigan yesterday. You had to pick the first 3-point shooter of the game for a $10 bet. Consolation prize, $1 bonus for every 3-pointer hit in the entire game. 35 threes hit last night. Talking about the Lakers Celtics game. There you go.
All right,
shout out from the numbers guys in Michigan for DK. Michael Burns, I wonder if Liv got some bad sushi. I see what you did. Trip Tepper checked back in. He said, forget Usher. ANG needs to get that British guy on the show for next week's big game breakdown on Radio Row. He absolutely should. Johnny Ringo, I'm sorry, but sounds like Gil just made the case for fumbling out of the end zone. No, I didn't. He said, you tried, you failed, so you shouldn't get the ball back in a favorable position. Well, I was just quoting what the guy said. But the thing out of the end zone is a whole other thing, Johnny Ringo. Don't you pin that on me. It's the worst rule in sports.
Don't you pin that on me.
Should I... Should I Ron Burgundy through these? Gibby, yeah, Pitt sure. Panther Gibb. There is a book that has named a prop Taylor's husband. Taylor with a Y, meaning Taylor Swift. Taylor's husband with an I. Taylor's husband. Juszczyk to score a touchdown 9-1. I may have to bet it for the name alone.
No. Is that all Juszczyk's priced at on any time touchdown? I'm definitely taking a piece of that somewhere.
Taylor's, I don't get the Taylor's husband either. Thing. Okay.
I mean, like a suit tailor? You know what I mean? Like, who's making suits for Taylor Swift?
That's why you don't Ron Burgundy through these.
And why do we care about her or his husband?
One last thing. Sammy does St. Louis. Watched American Nightmare last night. Great recommendation, Gil. The format of 3 episodes at 45 minutes each is perfect amount. Thank you for the recommendation. Again, American Nightmare, best thing you'll see on TV. It is fantastic. And I know I'm late to the game on American Nightmare. It's on Netflix. 3 episodes, as the gentleman said. 45 minutes or less, somewhere in that pocket. About this unbelievable story that happened in the East Bay, talking about Bay Area, in 2015. And the events that unfolded. Kidnapping. Was it a kidnapping? Police. Do they believe? Do they not believe? It's spectacular. Highest recommendation.
I'll have to check it out. And the crew... Matt, you might need to repeat that for me. I think Kyle Juszczyk's wife is making jackets for the NFL.
Oh, there you go.
Or something like that. There so that's go. The Taylor's Taylor how connection.
How did we miss that?
I don't know how I missed that important NFL note this week.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is Mike Somich's co-host on the handle. I'm sorry. He's also the host of the All Angles Football Betting Podcast. He's the co-host of Long Shots. It's called Long Shots. Golf's finest podcast, founded by the great Brady Cannon and now hosted by Matt Brown, by Kelly Bidlin, by, of course, Wes Reynolds. It's Matt Brown, everybody. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Skype logged me out and didn't like my password anymore. And so I had to do the whole song and dance of getting a new Skype password and getting in.
We're glad we have you.
Pulling the curtain back a little bit, you know?
Yeah, we did hear a Skype message I've never heard before in my life when we tried to call you. So, yeah, that was interesting.
Glad you made it.
Skype said, hey, man, your password's too old, and we're going to put you through the whole rigmarole here of trying to log into to our service. But here we are, ready to rock and roll.
Thank you for making it happen. We haven't had a chance to talk to you about Super Bowl 58. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but in 9 days, they're playing a football game here in Vegas for all the marbles. It is the Niners by 2. It was 3. It was 2.5. It got all the way down to 1 very quickly. Bounces back up to 2 here. Do you have a play on either the side or the total? Let's start there.
Yeah, I didn't do the total. I did put in a +2 on the Chiefs. And, you know, I look at this and basically what it all comes down to, Gil, is I think it's going to be a very close game. I think that the Chiefs defense will be able to put some pressure on Brock Purdy. And I think that the Chiefs defense will be able to make him make a mistake or two. And somewhere along the way that I believe that this team is coached a little bit better than the Lions. This isn't, and I don't want to get into the whole deal about, you know, kick or don't kick or all the different stuff like that. But, you know, I do believe that Andy Reid, if they are to get a lead on this 49ers team, I have much more trust in Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and their style of play and the way that they would go about protecting a lead than I do the Lions. And so I've all said and done, I was down on the Chiefs all season long, probably had them lower in my power ratings than most people did all season long. And, you know, that's what you get, I guess, for doubting the greatest quarterback of all time and everything like that. But, you know, listen, the defense continues to play pretty good. It has fallen off over the second half of the season, but it's still an upper 12 defense with everything. And I think Spags in that at the defensive coordinator position is also really underrated. And I think that he's going to be able to go in and figure out some stuff and make Brock Purdy uncomfortable. And I think if you can make Brock Purdy uncomfortable, you can keep this thing pretty close. And if we keep this thing pretty close, then give me any points I can have on the face of the planet with Patrick Mahomes quarterback in the team.
That's it. You've learned this. By the way, it strikes me as you were talking about Andy Reid, that at one point in his coaching career, we viewed him as the opposite, right? He was like the most unreliable guy. Bill Simmons had that famous thing where he's like, Andy Reid should be the coach of the Eagles till the 2-minute warning. Then they should like to the bullpen. They should go for somebody else. And so over the arc of his career, he has changed that reputation. Certainly at least juxtaposed against Dan Campbell, as you phrase it, he has. Are you a props guy? Do you end up with a lot of props in your account?
Yeah, I play a decent amount for sure. I've got, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got 5 currently in the account. So feel pretty good about the 5 I've got in there, and we'll continue to kind of see how these things evolve. And, you know, as we, I'm sure you guys have said all week long, overs early, unders late. So if anything gets added for me next week, it'll probably be underlooks as these things continue to climb throughout the course of the week. But I think I'm on a couple that Mr. Bidlin over there enjoys as well.
Would you like to share? Care to share?
Yeah, I like Pacheco over his rush yards, and I also like Pacheco as the leading rusher in the game. And you're getting pretty decent money on Pacheco to be the leading rusher in the game. And so for me, if you kind of look at how I think the game is going to go, right, I think that the game is going to be fairly close, which if that's the case, then I think that these running backs will probably get about the same amount of carries. And so even though the line right now is 16.5 for Pacheco and 19.5 carries for McCaffrey, if you guys, and again, there's a lot of speculation that goes into all this, but if I'm the Chiefs and I have these elite perimeter corners and all this stuff like that, like I'm probably saying I'm not going to allow Christian McCaffrey to beat me. If Purdy wants to throw to the outside with these corners that have locked down people all season long, literally the lowest completion percentage to outside receivers in the NFL versus the Chiefs this year, I think that there's a pretty decent chance that Pacheco can end up being the leading rusher in this game. Again, specifically if it plays out like I think, and if I think a Chiefs win too, then he might could get a few extra carries along the way from the 16.5 that he's currently lined at.
All right. Well, you like that one.
I do like that. Yeah, I do. I did not know Matt was on that as well. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Oh,
how did he know that you would like that then?
I don't know. Oh, I actually might have been. I think I know how our VEASAN page, we're starting to build up our favorite props. That was VEASAN. My favorite one submitted there.
/picks.
I got to ask Matt a question real quick because you brought it up earlier. Yeah. And I've been tracking some of these sites. Matt, have you seen any specific names of live golfers that have tum-tum problems this morning? Because some books are starting to pull the odds down.
Oh, boy. Oh, is the Vegas flu for golfers?
They said there's speculation that half the field has food poisoning.
Yeah, I was wondering if you had been tracking. Oh boy.
I've not seen that. Don't say where they ate. Good gracious. put that restaurant out of business.
We just changed Matt's entire morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Woo, Matt's like, how much time do we have left in this segment? Wrap it up.
Yeah, reports coming down that there's a flu or it was food poisoning. Yes, food poisoning. Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out exact names here.
Yeah, so there's speculation they might not even play, but if they do play, well, betters be aware.
Oh boy.
Last thing, last 30 seconds, then we'll let you go bet on this. Last 30 seconds, give us one more prop that you've bet so far.
Yeah, I played George Kittle over on his longest reception. It's currently sitting, I think, at 20.5 yards. If you kind of look, his longs on the season for George Kittle is kind of crazy. I think it's under the radar because you have Debo and you have Ayuk and you have McCaffrey and all this. But longs in games that Kittle played this year, 29, 38, 28, 34, 66, 24, 32, 44, 35, 58, 32, and 28. He went over 12 different times of the 20.5, which is his long reception on the year. And of course, one of those games was a week 18 game that you know, the starters barely played any game. So I really like Kittle over on his longest reception.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for making Skype work. Go down that live rabbit hole, sir.
Have a good one, guys.
Matt Brown, everybody. At Matt Brown M2. We don't often say that. At Matt Brown M2 on the Twitter machine. Dan Bespris on the NBA on the other side. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN daily newsletter. Bill 80, crafting it, and I do mean crafting it every morning. In today's newsletter,
get all your splits for all of the novelty props posted at DraftKings.
Here you go. Get expert analysis, latest odds delivered straight to your inbox, absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D on a numbers game. This gentleman, we'd have him on every day if we could. But the reason he's on sparsely is that his kids are petri dishes of bacteria. It's Dan Bespris, everybody, from Fantasy NBA Today podcast and, of course, Sports Ethos. How you doing, man?
Guys, I know I came on here one time and I said my nickname should be the plain bagel because of how I like my life to be, but the bagel is fully covered in like children's, well, frankly, probably boogers at this point. It's just, it's,
oh no,
it's never ending. It's never ending.
Why you, Dan? Why you?
Why me? Yes. Whoa. Whoa is me. I want everybody's pity. Just lather me with pity.
He's like, how did I get these children? Well, let me explain that one to you, Dan.
When two people love each other very much.
That's right. Different kind of show. When two people really like each other. All right. Before you get to talk anything NBA, by the way, I hope your kids feel better. And you and the wife. Before you're allowed to talk NBA, you must give a thought on Super Bowl 58. Them's the rules. What is your thought?
You know, historically, I know you're doing this to me because you know I don't follow the NFL.
That's right.
At all.
That's right.
But as an Angelino, I have to root against anything from San Francisco. So,
oh, wow.
Okay. I have rooting interest and I have no betting interest of any kind. I know that historically, and I don't know if this has changed in like the last two decades, the favorite on the money line and the dog with the spread tend to be the slight values in Super Bowls because of how public gets in on, ooh, an underdog type of thing. But because there's no real like money or money line price on the dog,
that's
folks,
right,
they can see that, then that probably just goes right out the window this year.
That's
so
exactly
I'm
right.
For nothing.
Dan Bespris knows his stuff. That's exactly right. So the Super Bowl tenant that we say on this show every year, which is the public bets the dog on the money line when it comes to Super Bowl. So it kind of bled into the championship games, yep, too, that's their behavior changes. Usually they take the points in the regular season. It doesn't really apply here with this small of a spread.
Yep. I've got a Super Bowl prop question I know Dan can answer. Okay. Dan, what's your favorite Gatorade?
So here, historically, so I had a GI bug when I was 11 years old.
No.
And I drank orange Gatorade for a week. So I cannot touch it anymore. So give me blue.
Blue is
real chill.
Correct answer. That is the correct answer, Dan.
It is absolutely the correct answer. Was that going anywhere or you just wanted to ask him?
No, just Gatorade breakdown coming next week. Deep tease.
Dan, you are the sickest family I've ever run into in my life. I just want to
really
point that out.
It's really true.
Yeah.
Gil, I've had multiple people ask me, are you okay in like the last 6 years? And I was like, I had a kid. So no, I'm very much not okay. And then we had another one and it's exponential, the germs.
Do you think our parents talked about us this way, by the way, a generation ago?
100% yes.
My mom denies it. Gilly, we never talked this way. It's only the kids today. All right, NBA. Embiid, he can't really afford to miss many more games here. So he has dropped all the way to 60-1 in the NBA MVP market. We talked about it earlier. If you were betting this right now, what would you bet?
So my hope, because, you know, this is going to be a tight one, and you've got kind of like the usuals. Giannis is going to be in there and Jokic is going to be in there. And Luka's always going to be in there because, Gil, you and I have talked for 4 years about how the NBA so badly wants to get Luka an MVP. But the Mavs are going to have to go on a winning streak. So I like him at plus 550. If you're thinking Kyrie can get himself back there and they can push him up to the top of the board. But this discussion, this explanation is actually going to bleed into a couple of thoughts I have about the way the two conferences are looking right now. And the Thunder have one of the easiest schedules the rest of the way. So if you're looking at not taking the favorite, which is Jokic at the moment, and honestly, he probably will end up winning it. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander actually has a really nice shot at it. He's been fairly healthy this year, which is a big thing with the 65 game limit. His team is right up there at the top of the board in the West. And I think they have the second easiest calendar from now until the end of the season. So they're likely to continue winning. And if he keeps doing what he's doing, you could make a really good argument because you look at Jokic, you're like, okay, he's got Jamal Murray. He's got Aaron Gordon. He's got Michael Porter Jr. There's all these guys. And when you talk about the Thunder, people say Shai and Chet. And a lot of people have trouble naming a third player on that team, which I think could maybe play in his favor. The NBA loves to make sure they split this thing up. So if you're looking at anybody besides the favorite, I think Shai has a pretty good shot and a decent case at it.
How does that flow into your conference thoughts?
Yeah, so that's why I think Oklahoma City actually has a really nice chance to win the West. And I don't know how the stretch run is going to impact them, but Shai seems generally unstoppable. And as long as he's healthy, again, that's a team to me that can collect wins where a lot of the opponents, a lot of the competitors they have in the West, the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, the Clippers, they all have at least slightly tougher schedules the rest of the way. I don't know that I'm like so bent on it that I think you have to go race and bet the Thunder to win the West. But I do think they have a really nice path at it because they've knocked out a lot of the best teams in the league. And by knocked out, I don't mean they necessarily beat them. They've just already played them, where Minnesota, I think, has the Clippers three more times. And I think Minnesota and the Nuggets play each other three more times. So they're just all going to be beating each other up while the Thunder are cruising through against a bunch of 500 ball clubs. I think the Thunder actually have a pretty good shot to win the West if you think they don't fold late. And I do kind of believe in them. I don't know why. I do. I think they can handle it down the stretch.
But regular season is one thing and postseason is another, right? And so the NBA has this history of, you know, you don't just get there your first go at it kind of thing. Historically, that doesn't happen. So it's fun to talk about, but do you really think they could overcome a best of seven gauntlet in the West?
No, that's probably where you look at a team like the Nuggets or the Clippers right now and assume they get past them. And then Minnesota's defense, you can't really overlook that either. I don't think I would have the Thunder coming out of the West. And honestly, at this point, I'm not certain who I have coming out of the West. You'd be hard pressed to get me to take anybody besides the Nuggets because they're very much in sort of on autopilot this entire regular season. Off a championship, you see that a lot. But if I was going to go another direction, the Clippers are very impressive these days. I, you know, the only reason you would fade them would be the historical health stuff of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, but knock on my fake wood desk here in front of me, so far so good on that one. And I, you know, we don't have the power to jinx. To anybody that's about to tell me that I have the power to jinx, as a longtime minor league play-by-play broadcaster, I promise you, I can't control these things. So Clippers, I think, are really interesting coming out of the West. I think the Timberwolves, I'm not as high on them getting out of the West as I am on them, you know, maybe challenging the Thunder for that first seed. And then again, it's very hard to fade the Nuggets until I see anything that suggests that they're not the team they were last year, just sort of coasting this regular season.
Dan Bespris, former play-by-play guy for the Bakersfield Blaze. High A.
That's right, baby.
High A ball for those scoring at home. You're in Southern Cali. You heard these LeBron rumors. What would you, like, if I asked you to make a line on LeBron stays with the Lakers versus LeBron gets traded, like, what is that line?
The stays with the Lakers line is so chalky, you wouldn't be able to swallow that down. He's not going anywhere. He is firmly entrenched in Upper Brentwood, which is like 3 miles from me, but we couldn't be farther away from one another. He's entrenched in Hollywood stuff. This is where his family is. This is where his life is. He's not leaving. His kid is in school here. He's not leaving LA.
That's what I said. Sorry. I said, does anybody put a mic in his mouth? Because that will go away in a heartbeat if they do. Because he'll be like, I'm not going anywhere. All right, then we never asked this question because it's, you know, it's so simple and we try to be in the weeds more. But who's in the NBA Finals, though, if I put that to you right now?
All right, well, I just said I thought the Nuggets were coming out of the West, but maybe I should say something crazy. Give me Clippers out of the West to just get wild and woolly. And it's got to be Celtics in the East. I would love to have said the Bucks, but the Bucks are doing very strange things these days. I don't have faith in Doc Rivers. Call me crazy and going way out on a limb with this one. But even if they take a 3-1 lead over the Celtics, I think we all know what's going to happen there. I mean, I like the Knicks a lot as a team to sort of get in on early and maybe hedge as they go, but I don't see them beating the Celtics. I mean, Boston's just too talented. I don't care what happened last night. That was the classic team has two stars out. Other teams like, well, I can just do whatever I want in, you know, first day of February kind of thing. That's not who they are. We saw the Celtics when they were trying the first 2 months of this season. They are very, very good. So give me Celtics and Clippers just because I want to see a different team out of the West.
Dan Bespris, get those kids healthy, man. Okay?
I can't, Gil. I've tried everything and I can't do it. They will be sick until the day that they graduate high school and then they'll still be sick, but they won't get me sick anymore.
Father of the year, Dan Bespris. Sports Ethos. Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Love you guys.
Great
Thanks
seeing
so
you.
Much.
JBT's calling and he's like, how dare he call the Clippers wild and woolly?
We did get Rich Paul, LeBron's agent, did talk to ESPN a short while ago, said he will not be traded.
Breaking news. We're done. Best bets next. Enjoy.